Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Coquitlam, Stolo, Catesy, and other Coast Salish peoples. We are also broadcasting online at cjsf.ca. You can find us on all the various social media platforms by looking for CJSF 90.1 FM. I am Jesse, and I am joined in studio today by Mert and Daniel. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Good. I'm good. It's a nice warm, but not too warm, early summer, late spring morning.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Some jacket weather.
Yeah. I'm excited to have the two of you in studio with me for the first time. We're gonna talk and play some music and just generally get acquainted with the space. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of the two of you on air over the next little bit.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hope so.
That's what I'm waiting
for. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, why don't we get started, and I'll just let the two of you just give a brief, quick introduction of who you are and what brought you to the radio station. Does one of you want to start, or should I just pick?
I can go first.
Sure.
So, my name is Mert. I'm originally from Turkey. I'm living in Vancouver almost 5 years. I graduate from Vancouver Film School as an audio student. Then after that, I always been into music, actually. So I realized that, okay, I have to get some experience on radio at some point. Then after that, I found CJSF Radio. And I knocked the door, and people welcome me. I'm here. Yeah.
Nice. I'm Daniel Anam. I'm an international student from Nigeria. I've been at SFU for about 3 years, studying communications. And I've been working at CJSF for almost a year, I think. I've been running album reviews, so I like those parts of the music and everything. So I'm glad to be here on the show and to see how it goes.
And so you've been helping channel and pick and label all the music that the show hosts here at CJSF go through to pick from the playlist. Mm-hmm. And it's always nice to get a nice review of something so that you can just read it and know, like, oh yeah, I have to listen to this. Oh, maybe that's not my speed. It makes the selection process a lot streamlined.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because that's one of the cool things about CJSF that's different from, you know, your commercial radio station. At a commercial station, you have like a music director. We have a music director, but it's a lot more decentralized here. We have volunteers. Work studies, other people who come in, listen to the music, help decide, is this going to get added to the playlist or not? Is this good? What kind of music is this? And I think having, genre is difficult, right? Like, it's hard to know, like, what genre a song is or isn't or how best to describe it. So I think having lots of different perspectives on that is really, really cool and lets us have a wider range of music than you might find otherwise.
Yeah, I find that genres are like, they're not perfect at describing sounds and like what sounds go together. Like a friend recently asked me, I recommended this Childish Gambino song to him, 1238, I think it's called. And he asked me recently for more recommendations of songs like it, but he didn't want to delve into the Childish Gambino discography and try and find that music for himself. And I found that I really couldn't recommend anything like it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it has that label of, I guess, alternative R&B, but I didn't really know any other songs like it. Mm-hmm. So I just sent him some random song, hoping it was the right one. But, yeah, I definitely see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we play a bit of music just to get the hour rolling? I have a track by Omianen selected. They played a Studio 6 session here at the station. They're a local band that have been working on this record, Paper Dream, which came out last year, throughout the whole pandemic. So it was nice for them to get it out. And we should have a live video recording of them performing right here at this very station pretty soon. So in the meantime, let's hear that first track from the album Paper Dream. It is the title track, Paper Dream, here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you. Paper Dream by Omianon from a record of the same title here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Guys, what'd you think about that track?
It's really, really good. Dreamy.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamy. Paper Dream is an appropriate name, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Angelic voice. Mm-hmm. Dreamy. I like it. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And like I said before, you can look forward to a video recording of Omianon performing that track and many more right here live at CJSF's Studio 6. That'll be out on our YouTube page soon. Connor promises us soon. And I'm saying it live on the radio so that there's that extra incentive. Get it done! No, just kidding. It's a community radio station. We're all doing a little bit of everything. Yeah, here we are in studio, and we did a little bit of introductions as we got going. One thing I wanted to touch on, we were talking about it before the show started, and then, Merritt, you mentioned you went to Vancouver Film School for sound.
Yeah, sound designing, yeah.
And Daniel, before I heard you talking about the Nigerian film industry Nollywood, and an interest or desire by yourself to get involved in that. Maybe we can talk a little bit about film and a little bit about where that comes for both of you. Starting with you, Daniel, like where does film start with you, and what does it mean to you?
Where does film start? I know I used to watch a lot of movies when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come home and my dad would be watching like Riddick.
Yeah.
And I think I thought The Chronicles of Riddick came out first, but eventually I saw Pitch Black, which was the original. And I loved those. We have vendors, like traffic vendors in Nigeria, who sell CDs with 40 movies in one.
Mm.
So we used to cop those, come home, just play them all the way. And then it was this kind of recordings where someone recording from the back of the cinema.
Bootlegs,
exactly. Yeah. And then someone would stand up during the movie.
Yeah.
And they're going to the restroom and you'd see them and everything.
Hey, it's the whole in-theater experience at home, right?
Authentic, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You feel like you're really there.
Exactly.
So we used to watch those animations, real movies, and I just kind of really got into movies, storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I like to write. I'm working on a story right now that I'm really interested in. That's what story cinema is for me. I like looking at shots, I like taking photos. I like imagining compositions in my head and how to do that. And I want to make movies in my life at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when, but at some point, yeah. And I want to take it back to Nigeria. I don't want to just work in, you know, obviously the Canadian film industry is amazing, American, of course. But I want to go back to Nigeria and like make it in Nigeria, because mm-hmm. Nigeria needs more good movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, one of the things, out there, a little bit of squeak. One of the things I overheard you speaking with Merritt about outside was that there are like kinds of movies that don't get made in Nigeria.
Yeah.
What are those?
So I think, first off, I would not to disparage the Nigerian film industry,
no,
but I think a lot of movies get rushed because there's this kind of cash flow system going on where they don't really care too much about the quality of the movie. So the film production place I worked at, a company I worked at in Nigeria, had a bit more of an ethic around making films and making good scripts than other Nigerian films I've seen. So, you know, I was inspired by that as well. But I feel like that movie is like a movie would come out this year. You know, it's a massive hit. And then before the year is over, part two.
Right.
And it's like, just take your time.
Yeah, it's more about the number, like getting the movies out than making a high quality, making a movie for the sake of making that movie.
Yes, getting the movie out, having the biggest stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of them follow like the same similar storylines of like, you know, there's a lot of money somewhere in the movie and they rent out all these fancy cars and big houses, but they don't really help in telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, they're not really saving money that could be used elsewhere to tell, you know, a more compelling story. So those kinds of ethics and understanding about filmmaking. I'm sure there's a whole new generation of Nigerian filmmakers who are really taking these things into account and not just pumping out films because they make money. There are a lot of people getting involved because it's an important industry. It's a real way to like get messages into populations and just keep people entertained and just tell good stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a medium that's not really been properly utilized in Nigeria, even though there's a lot of them. And you know, I love Nigerian movies. They have their own thing going. But there's more to be done, and I definitely want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. I think there are similar issues in the North American, or I mean, just in film globally right now, that, you know, the movies mm-hmm. that get made and consistently get made and get made a lot are the, you know, like the big sort of like the Marvel movies or the Star Wars movies or these big provenly. Proven popular blockbusters that are, like you're saying, it's kind of just the same formula,
yeah.
Right? Like, and it's easy to assemble, and it's easy to just get the next one out instead of maybe investing all that money on CG into like really paying writers, which is also a theme right now in Hollywood,
the
right?
Strike and everything.
Yeah. So I think, but I think that especially on a more local level, like you're speaking, like on a Nollywood level. There does exist that opportunity to do something different.
Right. Yeah. It's because it's the film industry in Nigeria specifically is definitely not as saturated as in the US or mm-hmm. Canada, for example. Because, well, one thing I'm thinking of is making like a post-apocalyptic story that's set in Nigeria.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened before, at least not on a, you know, feature film scale or anything like that. So, I think once that kind of wave comes in
mm-hmm.
of new genres, just trying new things, not relying on big name actors, and you know, just focusing on telling compelling stories, not rushing them out, you know, the politics being minimized, you know, in the back end, and yeah, that's a lot. There's a lot to do, and
mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for the future.
Cool. Any thoughts, Mert, on that, or you can get into your own. Your own path to film?
Well, for the movies and the TV shows, when I was back in Turkey, I was studying visual communication design, and I was having a lot of time with my film studying guys. And we were shooting movies, we were taking photos outside, watching movies together, and speaking about movies, emotions, and the production, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I realized that I'm more into in the emotions that related by music, and I realized that composers are having really good important role for the production, especially related to emotion and everything. And I realized that a lot of sound effects also create great moments for the movies as well.
True.
Yeah. Then after that, I realized I should study for it. I should go for it because there's not much people around focus on the sound. They just only focus on the visual side.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to find an outlet that I can show myself in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with my friends and family, and I told them, okay, hey, I found a school in Vancouver. Can I go there? If I go there, this guy can support me. And I came here. I realized that there is very huge opportunity for the sound, and people can understand more different way of the sound. Most of the people who are working as a composer and the musicians are doing the sounds, but there's not much visual background guy for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see my opportunity, and I take the projects in a different way to see my talent and show my perspective into the movies. Nice. That was the point. Yeah, the emotions got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, because it is about the emotion, music, yeah. Cinema. It's about
a feeling. Yeah. How it makes you feel.
Even exactly. Soundtracks are giving the emotion and atmosphere in the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. Music doesn't need lyrics to be moving. Yeah. It's about how the sounds interplay with one another. Mm. It's all there.
And well, I think it's interesting, you know, even going back to silent film, like there was still music for silent films, right? Like it's so intrinsically part of the fabric of a movie to have something to listen to that reflects or contrasts or emphasizes what you're seeing on screen, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, cinema, it is primarily visual. And I mean, over time, it's become like multifaceted. There's mm-hmm. music, there's, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that's involved in it. And you can look at narrative as well, because mm-hmm. narrative is something that comes from like theater and like drama. And it's not inherent to cinema to have those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
but it's not very easy to keep people invested in something or to keep looking at images if they can't, you know, form some kind of narrative between each image.
We like to do that as humans, exactly. to build narratives out of even unrelated facts.
Exactly. That's right, that's I don't want to get too controversial, but that's kind of how religion mm-hmm. operates as well. You know, people trying to find a reason for existing and trying to find a reason to do certain things or anything really, and then they find this meta narrative that there's a reason they're supposed to do things, and you know, it works for many people, and you know, it just makes sense. It seems like a very human thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of another very human thing, which we've been talking about, music, let's get to another track. Daniel, you had a track you wanted to play. What can you tell us about this one?
This one's by Eric B. and Rakim. It's called Keep the Beat. I heard it maybe a couple of days ago. It's just really good. I think I heard the sample somewhere. Mm-hmm. else, and maybe a more recent song, but I don't remember what song that was. But when I heard this one, it's just a really good beat. I love it.
Yeah, an all-time classic.
All-time classic. Eric B., you know, master of his craft, and Rakim as well, you know, both lauded as, you know, the epitome of their, you know, what they do.
Their craft.
Of their craft, exactly. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, let's get into it. This is Keep the Beat by Eric B. and Rakim.
And relax, move. acapella as we start to speak. Heart to heart, and cheek to cheek, then I complete the beat.
This is Bird Note. Julia D'Olivera is a paleo artist. That means she brings extinct species to life in her artwork. For each project, she learns everything she can about the species to come up with a realistic portrait.
Color is not usually preserved, so we do have to gather information about its environment, of its biological niche, like, was it a predator? Did it live in open areas or in woodlands? Because it all influences color.
And she includes the landscape, the plants, and other animals in her final illustration of the species. When Julia recreates pterosaurs, an extinct group of flying reptiles, modern birds help her imagine how they might have looked. Like birds, pterosaurs may have had brightly colored bodies to help attract mates.
A lot of my reference material for reconstructing the tissues, the face tissues, are from birds, from living birds. If we look closely, we see a lot of things we see in the fossil record in living animals. So they were probably a lot like our living animals.
Julia hopes her paleo art offers something different from the grotesque versions of dinosaurs in movies she remembers from growing up.
We had a lot of paleo art that portrayed extinct animals as monsters, and the Earth was just a monster show. It was not. It was our planet, but with different creatures, and these creatures were regular creatures.
See some of Julia's amazing paleo art on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Connor Guerin.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard Keep the Beat by Eric B. and Rakim. As we were saying, an all-time classic. Any other thoughts about that one, guys?
Well, such a super great classic as a boom rap example, especially early 90s. Mm-hmm. And Eric B. and Rakim always influential for the mainstream hip-hop as well. So that was a great, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't sound dated to me. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a product of its time, and it does what it set out to do.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't know, I feel like there are artists today who are, you know, like if they'll put out a beat that doesn't necessarily sound exactly like that, but it wouldn't maybe sound out of place on that record, on their record, right?
Yeah, there are artists definitely inspired directly by them, not even... You know, it's not even like a trickle down effect. Like
no.
Someone like Joey Badass.
A$AP Rocky.
A$AP Rocky, even. Mm-hmm. All that boom bap. And they're New York as well, I think, Eric mm-hmm. B. and Rakim. So that New York sound has definitely been inspired by them, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a certain minimalism there that